You may be among the millions ready to raise an end of your glass of a complex hydroalcoholic solution supersaturated with carbon dioxide molecules and laced with proteins, lipids, and amino acids. In other words, champagne. Scientists have discovered that there are 20 million bubbles in every bottle, each bubble doing something that alters the taste, smell, and behavior of the drink. Champagne owes much of its magic to carbon dioxide, CO2, also a greenhouse gas. In a few minutes, a machine that may be waiting for you if you foolishly choose to drive after imbibing. But we spoke a couple of years ago with Wall Street Journal science columnist Robert Lee Hotz about the science of champagne. He says CO2 is pumped into soft drinks as well as champagne, which is fermented twice, and it all starts with yeast.
Yeast metabolizes sugar and produces alcohol, and as a byproduct, carbon dioxide. And for hundreds of years, this was a huge nuisance to winemakers, and their bottles would be exploding. Winemaking was quite a hazardous art. And in the 17th century, starting around then, they began to see the virtue in these bubbles, and slowly and incrementally, they figured out ways to keep the bottles from exploding, adopting things like the cork or the wire collar that holds things in.
Well, you understand from your article that the legendary monk Dom Perignon, who was originally hired to try to get the bubbles out of the champagne, was the one who invented that wire. Is it called a mucilette?
Dom Perignon is an iconic figure in the history of champagne. The truth is, who knows what he really did, but he was generally credited with a lot of little innovations, the most important one being the prototype of the mucilette, which everybody finds on a bottle. And that's basically what keeps it popping, because there's so much carbon dioxide inside a bottle of champagne that when that cork pops, if you don't do it right, it comes out at about 30 miles an hour, so it could really break the window.
You put your eye out.
Right.
Well, and we learned from, again, your writing that if you get it to pop out softer, you have a better taste.
Mm-hmm.
And that the glass has a lot to do with all of this, not just the shape of the glass, the flute, which encourages the bubbles better, but these microscopic pieces of lint or fabric that are in every glass. How do they help the bubbles?
Well, I have to admit, that was part that I found extraordinary, because the crucial cradle for champagne bubbles, it turns out, are these tiny microscopic fibers, typically cellulose, left by the towel that you wipe the glass clean with, or they just simply drift out of the air. They're hollow. As you pour the champagne into the glass, it splashes, some of the gas starts to effervesce, and it's trapped inside these little hollow tubes. And once the glass starts to settle, these little tubes start leaking bubbles, and they do it at a very fixed rate, about 30 bubbles a second. And this is the part that the scientists really zoned in on with high-speed microphotography and mass spectrometry and laser tomography. Each one of these bubbles, when it reaches the surface, explodes like a little bubble of lava, and it shoots these little jet droplets out into the air at several yards per second. I mean, it's pretty fast. And if you're a good champagne drinker, you probably have got your snoot down there in the glass, and these little jet droplets are aerating your nose and your tongue and your lips with aromatic molecules. It's a kind of a delivery system for quite a lot of the flavor and aroma of champagne. And this is unusual, and it's part of what makes champagne special.
Well, and it's part of what increases your tastes. Your taste buds are activated by the fizz. And you write, if you want the full effect, don't wear lipstick or eat chips.
That's right, because it turns out that you can actually taste carbonated bubbles. People have always thought that this tingle you get on your tongue is just simply from the physical act of these bubbles popping, right? It's like having a little champagne fairy tap dancing on your tongue. The fact is, though, that the carbonated bubbles actually activate the sour taste receptors. Now, nobody has a clue as to why this should be, because if you think about it, there's no reason why we would have evolved to have a special apparatus for tasting champagne bubbles. So it's probably a side effect of our normal taste sensory apparatus.
But you also remind us of the romantic side of the drink. I'm thinking of a quote from Lord Byron. He called those bubbles foaming whirls as white as Cleopatra's pearls. Dom Perignon said it was like tasting stars. Lee Hotz, thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Robert Lee Hotz, science columnist for the Wall Street Journal. Up next, a reminder of why you don't want to drive after drinking anything. Did you know the first experimental breathalyzer was made out of an empty football? Coincidence? Those two things tied together? I don't know. But the history of the breathalyzer in 30 seconds here and now.